The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please have a seat. God's grace, mercy, and peace are yours. They come from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus the Christ. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. We know this story of God so well. Well, we know some parts of the story of God so well. The Bible is wildly full. I mean, you can never really get it all read, because by the time you think you've read it and understood it and memorized its pieces and parts, you have been changed by it and by this life that we share. And when you read a story that you thought you knew, you find there's more of you now. You are more complex this time around. And you find that the story has new things to teach the new, more complex you. So we can literally spend our lives both loving and learning the Word of God. And as we do, we learn the story truer and deeper. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. I do not remember not knowing that part of the story of God. I'd say it's because I was a pastor's kid, but many of you, most of you are not pastor's kids, but you were raised in the church. And I bet you do not remember not knowing that part of God's story. People have been reading that part of God's story to you as long as you can remember. I learned about God creating the heavens and the earth, and that there was no light until God told it to happen. I learned that when I was very little. Little, when story time and snack time and running in the grass and probably fighting with my brothers, that's what filled my days. When I still trusted everyone and I loved dandelions and I never stopped singing. As an adult, I learned new things. As an adult, I learned about deep clinical depression from some people that I loved very much. I've spent most of my adult life loving, deeply depressed people. And in seminary one day, I was studying Genesis 1. In my Hebrew class, we had to translate it. So I was translating each word and each phrase and wondering about the possibilities of it. And there was this moment when I realized that the first verse of the first chapter of the first book of this Bible that I have loved my whole life has words that describe the things that other people have been telling me about depression. You see, not having experienced depression, while that's a great thing for me, it makes it more difficult to be in relationship and truly understand what someone is saying when I've never been there myself. But there were these phrases right there in ancient Hebrew, and they felt like echoes of words that I'd been told time and again. The earth was without form. It was void. And a darkness covered the face of the deep. Whatever the face of the deep is, darkness was covering it. And in the midst of the dark, formless void of space, right there in the same space that we cannot define and we can't even see, right there in the same place, was the wind of God. And so I asked Ken about it. He had tried 1,000 times to use language, imagery, metaphors, music, silence, all kinds of ways to try to tell me about depression. So I asked him about the very beginning of Genesis, about the void, about formlessness, about darkness covering the face of the deep, and then maybe even about the deep itself. And he teared up and he nodded. 40 years of knowing the first verse of Genesis. And then God revealed something new to me. Right there in the very beginning, Ken could recognize himself in the stirrings of creation. And I understood him a little more. I think that is probably why Ken loved light so much. He loved to talk about it. He loved to sing about it. He loved to sit in the sun. He always pointed to the moon. Because God said, "Let there be light." This story of God just keeps shaping us. This story of God, this word that we have before us, this Bible that we can carry around in a bound cover or in an app on a touch screen, this is the story of our King. Oh, beginning with Genesis, the story is about God before Jesus was born, but our King was present when the world began, when darkness was covering the face of the deep. Our King was there, and through him all things came into being. And when God's story had progressed in such a way that it was God's good pleasure to live among us, as Jeanette read from Colossians today, it says, "In him," in Jesus, "in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." And for me, this week, it's another moment to stop and wonder if I have ever heard that before. The King who was born to save us, in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Today we only get the scene of Jesus' crucifixion in the Luke text I just read, but at his birth, Jesus was already telling the story of God. Born into physical and political and social vulnerability, taking his place not in a gilded crib, but in a manger, growing up in a working class household with working class neighbors, educated in the local synagogue by the local priests, not an Ivy League education just down the road from the temple like we might expect from a king. His friends were working class folk from fishing villages. This king of ours has no interest in material wealth or social popularity. Our king is interested in truth and justice and empathy, which leads to sacrifice and love of neighbor. This story of God, which begins in Genesis, it winds its way through the desert. It winds its way past a burning bush and a bold demand to let God's people go. This story has wild displays of God's power, like the plagues visited upon Pharaoh. This story, which includes whole armies and cities being put to shame because God moves God's hand. This story makes its way through a girl named Mary and her boyfriend Joseph, and a vulnerable baby born into a country that is occupied by the Roman army, where there's no real freedom to be found. As a child, our king knows nothing of royalty or privilege, even though all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in him. And he shows us how to love because all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in him. And in this great story of God, our king makes us look sideways at kingship. He says his kingdom is like nothing we have seen, but we recognize it anyway because we are people of the kingdom, made in the image of the king. So when we see glimpses of his kingdom, we actually recognize it, and we are drawn in to the familiar, even while we're repulsed by the sacrifice and humility it demands. And sacrifice and humility are marks of the subjects of this kingdom. There are marks, there are characteristics of Jesus' people. We are told what they are. He said, love of God and love of neighbor. And he told us that we are the light of the world. And in this world, when darkness hovers over the face of the deep, there is also a wind from God present. And into that void, with the breath of the wind, God says, let there be light, and there is light.